Let me begin with an illustration. There were six of them, three couples. And their ages ranged from 15 years until 19 years. The year was 1951, I believe it was. They were leaving Nashville, Tennessee on Charlotte Pike, which was a two-lane highway, as all highways were just about back then. They were riding in a Pontiac convertible that one of the girl that was driving owned. And outside of Nashville, several miles, they were coming up on a very sharp curve, and there was a embankment, or not an embankment, but a culvert there with the ends up on the sides of the road. She didn't make that curve. She hit the end of that culvert. Their speed was such that the car flipped end over end, landed upside down, caught fire, trapped five of the six young people underneath, and they weren't even able to recognize them. The one that I'm thinking about, and my reason for this is, was trapped with her legs caught underneath and her body outside. The side of the car was right across her legs. 3 months in the hospital, they thought she was going to die and not make it, but she did. The injury was such that she couldn't have prosthetics. Now, this lady was a classmate of mine. She was one of the ones that we had gone from the first grade through high school, ultimately. In fact, in a wheelchair, she did graduate with us 2 years later. We were sophomores at the time, I think. And she lived a fruitful life. Last decade or so, she was a circuit clerk court in my home county. She never did talk about religion, never did want to talk about it. I talked to one of her cousins not too long before she died. She passed away just a year or so ago at around age 80. And she said, well, I said, could I go see Wanda? She said, well, Dean, she won't talk to you about the church. Her cousin was a member of the church. And she said she won't talk to you. Said she never has. One would think that such an accident that she had, that it would cause her to think seriously about her soul. But she didn't. Some people would say, well, where is God? Where was God when that happened? God was where He always is. God was in the world, the universe, and people had their free will, still have their free will. Wanda had her freedom of will, and as long as she was here upon this earth, she never chose to use it to obey God. That's so true of so many people. In fact, the majority of people are that way. There are those who claim that there is no God, such as Yuri Gagarin, the cosmonaut from Russia that circled the earth, the first man in space, I guess. And when he got back, he said they knew then that there was no God. He was sure because he didn't see him anywhere up there. Now stop and think about it for a moment, folks. Here was a man who just his own body, the existence of his own body, would shout that there is a God. There is a Creator. And the technology that had taken him to circuit the globe out in space in a vehicle such as that. A trip that concerning an activity like that or a project like that would take literally hundreds of thousands of calculations. And yet he made it. There's people back in biblical times that was looking for God. In fact, Philip made the statement one time to Christ. He said, "Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us." In other words, show me God. Christ couldn't show him God in the sense he was wanting because God is invisible. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is invisible. But you remember Christ's response to Philip? He said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." The woman at the well, Jacob's well, chapter 4 of the Gospel according to John, was looking for God in the sense. Down in it, you remember the woman in the well that Christ was waiting for the disciples to go get some food to eat. And he engaged this woman in a conversation. And in verse 9 it says, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" And Jesus' answer was, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." They continued the conversation in regard to worship after Christ had introduced the subject. And down in verse 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." In essence, the woman was saying, "Now, where is God? My people, the Samaritans, tell me I'm supposed to worship God over here. You say that we're supposed to worship God down in Jerusalem. Now, where is God?" Wouldn't you say that this woman was looking for God? One statement is made about Christ early on in his ministry by the disciples. And that statement was simply this: "Lord, everyone is looking for you." And I believe with all of my heart that to some degree, in some way, in some manner, every human being is looking for God. Problem is, the majority won't obey him whenever they find him. Problem is, mankind makes excuses. I don't know what Wanda's excuses were. I don't know if she ever made any excuses. I never did get to spend much time with her after that, just at class, at school. And we graduated together, of course. And then I would see her over the years, once every 5 or 6, 7 years maybe, at a class reunion. But I do know that she was buried, never having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was her choice. But I believe everybody is looking for God. And if we want to see him, like Christ said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." If you want to see God as he's presented to us in the scriptures, then read about his compassion for the multitudes that repeatedly is recorded and given to us in the accounts of the gospel. Speaking of the compassion that he had for them, and read about him as he counsels the rich young ruler, and how that when people would not listen to him and they go away like the rich young ruler did, sad because of the world's possessions. Listen and look at Christ as he didn't stop him. He didn't stop the rich young ruler and say, "Oh, come back and let's talk again." He loved him. When those who would not obey the gospel of the Son of God would depart, such as that, he loved them. If you want to see Christ, look at him here in this 4th chapter of the Gospel according to John and his conversation with this Samaritan woman. And the results of that was that she took off when the conversation was ended into Samaria, told a lot of the men, and they came back, and many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus Christ. Now that would seem to be a thing that wasn't possible. Here is this despised race, the Samaritans and the Jews, and they just didn't mix, and the Samaritans were the one that was that had the bad end of that, so to speak. And yet there were many of the Samaritans that believed when she brought them out to Jesus. You can see Jesus throughout the four accounts of the gospel. You can see Him in the writings of the Apostle Peter, and especially of the Apostle Paul as well, because he wrote more of the New Testament. I believe that we should be looking for God all of our life, not that we haven't found Him, but looking for Him as we would look for a godly father in this world. The times especially that we have need, that we know that that Father can fulfill. And certainly we know of all of the needs that our Father in heaven can fulfill. You know, the Bible talks about the multitudes and the children that came to Jesus. See it in His love for children, His love for the world. His healing of in His miracles when He was here upon this earth, the Son. His love of the apostles. And we see Him in the Son when He was hanging on the cross. I believe that's especially where we should see the Father. Because as the account is given to us, the Father had to turn His face in order that the Son might carry out the mission that was given to Him. And that mission was to die on the cross in order that you and I might know where God is and might be able to exercise our free will and accept that truth that He has taught us, that we might be saved. So tonight, if you're looking for God in the sense that you have never been baptized into Christ, if you're a believer in the gospel of Christ as it's set out in the Scriptures, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess them before men, confess Him as your Savior, if you're willing to be buried, immersed in water, and be raised in newness of life, why not tonight? And if you're a child of God and you've drifted back into the world, you need the prayers of the church or anything that we might assist you with in a public way, why not come as together we stand and sing?